Welcome to Gaia's Love, a podcast to guide you home into your human journey here on Earth. My name is Vivian Gerard, and it is my delight to co-create with Gaia and share our messages from Source in this now moment. Here we go. Episode 476. It is Thursday here in Cincinnati. It is a week after the messy construction episode from last week. The house is a lot quieter. The sunshine is brilliant outside. And I arrive here still a little messy, a lot in the unknown. Not a little, a lot in the unknown. And so the title for today is Reorienting. Reorienting, it is happening internally inside of me, collectively, well, externally in what I'm doing with my time and how I'm moving through my week, and then collectively, astrologically, as we are all moving into this new month, settling into the ripples from the eclipse season, the intensity that was April, opening up to the intentions for the new moon. It's called a super moon next week on Tuesday. Yeah, here in the Midwest, it is a time of blooming. It is absolutely gorgeous outside. The flowers, the perennials are all coming up. The trees have gotten their green leaves. The grass is like that beautiful, lush green. It is just this time of flourishing. And so it can be disorienting when we see the cycles so steady, and yet inside we don't feel the same, or we don't feel as clear on our path, or yeah, like we know what we're doing. And so I'm bringing that energy transmission through here for me, for all of us, of it's okay to be in that space. It's okay to be in the messy unknown. I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like, but I've made this decision, and so I'm going to make it the right decision, even if I don't quite know where it's going to take me. Esther Hicks says that all the time. Make a decision and then make it the right one, and follow through on that path, because, I mean, ultimately, I think many people believe, we're all headed to the same place. We're all going to leave this experience and go, wow, I really lived it. Maybe I could have turned this way or that way, but wow, I did life here on Earth. And so I don't really believe we can ever screw it up or get it completely wrong. I think we're just constantly being offered these choices. And then what do we do with them? Do we step into the bigger choice? Do we, you know, really courageously go in the direction that our soul is saying, yeah, this way, even though our body and our mind are like, no, flat out, no. Do we make that bigger, bolder choice and be super courageous? And sometimes we don't, and it's okay too. I don't think even that is wrong. I think it's just a constant reorienting within ourselves, and not judging or shaming where we're at, not expecting it to be like someone else or comparing with other people, but just really being so present in our own choices, our own journey, our own timing, our own knowing, our intuition. It's this way and this way and then this way. And so I'll just continuously, my mentor used to say pivot. You know, we just pivot. We realize this isn't working or this isn't the optimal choice, and we pivot and we go in a different direction. I have two sort of threads I was thinking I'd like to bring forward. One is sort of recapping some of how I've walked myself through the last week, from what I shared in last week's episode until this one. And then the other is a story I want to share from when I was a student in college. So I'll start with this past week. When I recorded the podcast, I had just finished a couple conversations that morning with two people whose opinions I really respect. And the feedback I was receiving is, you know, you have some internal sitting with yourself to do because there are these energies underneath the choices you're making that really could be cleared and it would make your choices feel that much more certain or in alignment with your higher purpose. And one of the biggest layers was grief. And, you know, in the Rich Girls Reels I was talking about last week, the new format that I'm trying, the choice I've made that I'm making the right choice, that one that's like pushing me so hard right now, I had shared about the light medicine that I created when we went into quarantine in 2020 with COVID. I just felt so compelled. I'm like, we have all of these symptoms that everyone is talking about as a collective humanity, and we're giving medication for it or vaccines for it. But what if there's another form of healing, another way of bringing medicine to people? And what if it's through light, if it's through visualization, and everyone has access to it? It's universal consciousness, but we're directing it in a specific way to symptoms or illness in our bodies. It was like taking the incredible work of Louise Hay in You Can Heal Your Life and then adding my extra to it, my understanding, my interpretation to what she had already created. And so I created 11 light protocols that address specific symptoms. So there's one for fear, for breathing, for grief, for adrenals, digestion, bowels, sight, ringing of the ears. You know, a lot of things that we work with when our consciousness is expanding and more energy is coming into our bodies. How do we integrate that energy and release the resistance that our body is trying to hold on to keep us safe? Well, one of the light protocols is for grief. And I've listened to it before, and I've had many people tell me how powerful it is. And I was like, well, I'm going to take my own medicine. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to listen to the light protocol. And so on Saturday morning, I went for my run, and then I climbed into the bath, which is my portal for healing, and put on the light protocol and cried and cried and cried and felt like the point of that light protocol, I'll give you a little hint. The point of that light protocol is the level of grief that we feel is in direct proportion to the intensity of the love that has been lost or completed. So if we are grieving someone who's died, the intensity of the grief is directly showing the intensity of the love that we had for that person while they were here. If it's a person who's in relationship that leaves us and suddenly we're no longer partners or friends or playmates, the intensity of the grief is in direct proportion to how much they mattered to us. And so the layers of grief, as you allow them to move, as we visualize light in the way that I guide it, I see grief as like a gray fog inside of our bodies, this really heavy, dense fog that makes it hard to breathe, makes us hard to open our hearts back up again because we're almost suffocating in our own emotional turmoil. And so as we start to move the grief by visualizing light coming in, I see it as pink light, compassion. As that comes in and we transmute the gray fog and allow it to move, we start to find the gift underneath that. The magic, the beauty that was the relationship or the connection or the love. And what we realize in the process is if we were able to feel that and create that before in our human journey, we can do it again. If we could magnetize that level of love into our life before, we can do it again. And so there's a releasing of the attachment. My friend Deborah yesterday in our Lighting Up the Grid talked about attachment And when we're not attached to somebody staying in our lives, being a permanent part of our story, we can release the relationship if it's complete, and that allows space for a new relationship to come in. And so what I was realizing as I was listening to the Light Protocol is how much I've held on to what was, the beautiful soul reunions that I've had already that are gone because those people are no longer alive. How do I trust that more are coming? And so I've held on to, it hurts so much to have them leave. I don't know that I really want to open my heart up again and again and again and have more people leave. And so maybe I'll just sort of buffer and protect. And so there was a lot of energy moving, emotion moving. It was such a beautiful process. And I could feel as that started to move how my root chakra hasn't really felt as safe as I would want it to because of the turbulence and the fog and the grief held in the rest of my body. And so I focused on building a stronger foundation in my root chakra, actually clearing out what wasn't serving and then visualizing. To me, it was really cool. Actually, I'll share this little story. I have a friend who, I have lots of friends who are witches, but I have a friend specifically who I was thinking about who's a witch in this life and in other lives. And I messaged her after this experience and said, you have to hear, you have to hear what I just went through. It was so cool. She's like, yes. What it felt like to me was I want my root chakra to be a cauldron of magic, of spell making in the way that I do spells. Spells for me is energy, energy healing, energy work, life force, and truth. Like those energies create spells. And spells really are just ways to transmute energy, ways to get rid of things that aren't in alignment and expand the things that we actually desire. It's not a negative, a bad thing like I think many people have associated spells as a negative. I think spells are powerful, especially if the intentions are so pure and in alignment. And so I wanted to see my root chakra as like this witch's cauldron that I was sitting around as a picture of a human sitting around my cauldron. And it's made of clay from the earth. And it's actually formed, sealed at the bottom. It's not just leaking energy, which is what I've had for quite a while. It's not porous and up and down to the earth and I'm just this conduit from the infinite down into the earth and energy just moves and flows. No, it's me holding in my root chakra my power, my strength, my safety, my security, not dependent on anybody else. Like I create it, I hold it. And so the visual of the clay cauldron from the earth with hot bubbling water inside of it, fiery energy and spell making, energy making happening in my root was the most liberating, incredible experience. So that was how I moved through my Saturday morning. I think I was done with all that by noon. It was amazing and such a validation of what my friends had been telling me last week. Don't do the program, do the work, do the energy work, like actually apply it, embody it, integrate it. Don't try go create it for somebody else, like do it for you. And that was what I was able to experience and create for myself on Saturday. And so I've been sitting with how it feels to have this moving, hot, spicy, fiery energy in my root chakra, and just for me, not for anybody else, just for me, and how that shifts my conversations and my choices and my actions. So yeah, I didn't know I was going to share that part, but there you go. Witch's cauldron in my root chakra. Energy is in place. Energy is activated. It's been pretty amazing. And then the rest of the weekend was about just connecting and soothing my body and being present with my husband. My son came home. We had a family dinner on Sunday night. Like, there's just been a lot of, you know, being present. And at the same time, I have been creating the reels, the content. Oh, I went to the farm. That's right. I spent time with my girlfriends on Saturday night. That's why I had everything done by 12. We were out at the farm. I played on Saturday night, which was the best. We had a fire. We danced. We had some margaritas. We laughed and were silly and ate delicious food and shared stories and caught up. And it was exactly what my human needed with all that I've been doing at a soul level this week. It was absolute perfection with some of my most beautiful friends who I've known for 30 years. Is that crazy? I can't, that is right. More than that, 35 years. Anyway, I filled up over the weekend and came back, and I have really been focusing on applying the Rich Girls Reels strategy to my social media. And this is the reorienting part that I really, I mean, all of it's about reorienting, but I want to bring forward this part of the reorienting. You know, you hear about beginner's mind to truly come to a process or an experience or a situation in your life fresh with no preconceived ideas and have a beginner's mind. Start over. Just try it again from a whole different perspective. I was talking about Steve Jobs with the Think Differently campaign for Apple two cycles ago when Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct, and how it's about just taking things and moving them and putting them in a different perspective and applying that different thought or different approach. It has been so challenging for me this week to look at how I share my work with the intention of conversion, the intention of, I'm not just sharing this so that you receive it and have an inspiration or a smile or you feel better. I'm sharing this so that it activates you to want more, to come listen to my meditation, to follow through and buy some of, like, the light medicine is something I've really been promoting this past week. Purchase these light protocols and then apply them, do something with them. It's this converting the energy to create action, to move someone to another point in their journey, not just meet them there and celebrate that that's where we all are, but to create action. And that's a whole different mindset. It's beginner's mind for me in my marketing. I do that in my energy sessions. I do that in my community. I show up and we're all about action and conversion and shifting the energy, but not in my marketing, my social media presence. And it's a new language. It's really been uncomfortable for me to look at my content and feel how I can share it in a way that, like, sells or invites in this different way. It's pushing all my comfort edges, but make a decision and make it the right one is my approach. And I am full on committed to doing this and seeing where it takes me. Which leads me to the story I wanted to share of Costa Rica when I was studying in college. I was thinking about this morning when I was on my run, that so many times in my life, I've pivoted. I've been in a situation that's felt very uncomfortable, and I have made a choice that shifts the energy and moves me in a different direction. And so I know that experience of wobbliness, the unknown, the void, the reorienting, I know what that feels like. And I always think it's going to be less uncomfortable the next time, and it isn't. The only thing that serves me is I have evidence that I made it through before. I have proof that each choice led me to something more in alignment or the next expression of myself. There were gifts after the choice. And so staying in alignment and holding steady with the choice brings me to a better future, a better experience. And so the moment of choice from when I was in Costa Rica came through this morning. I love this story. So when I was in college, I Well, first off, I went to college for a year right out of high school and loved it. I went away to Butler University in Indianapolis, which is a couple hours from Cincinnati. Lived on campus, made some friends. It was amazing. And then they raised tuition 10%, and it was already at that time $14,000 a year. I had a scholarship for $10,000, and I was like, okay, I'll take school loans for $4,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but this is 35 years ago. So it was a lot back then. And I didn't have it, and it was all loans, and I didn't want to have tons and tons of loans. So I decided 10% increase in tuition is just going to keep going up. I'm going to have to keep paying more and more. I don't know that I want to actually do this. I think I'm going to drop out for a while and live at home and figure out what to do next. So I did that. Started working, made some money, met my first husband. We moved in together, and then when I was 21, maybe it was a few years, I decided to work part-time, like 30 hours part-time, and pay for school and go back to a local college near me. So I did, and I was studying international business. So I was doing management and Spanish, and I was learning Spanish. I was having conversational kind of Spanish, but I was not fluent, and it didn't feel in alignment for me to graduate and not be conversational in a way where I could just hang and chat with somebody in Spanish. So at the time we were engaged, my fiance and I said, okay, let me set up one short study abroad experience. I won't do the whole semester, but I'll do like a summer study. It started in May and went through the end of June, so it was 2 months. Which is funny, it's actually, how many years ago is that? That was 1995. So it was almost 30 years ago. Yeah, wild, right? So crazy. So crazy. Anyway, I signed up to go to Costa Rica through a program that was run through the University of New Orleans. And so I flew down to New Orleans, and then flew over to Costa Rica and stayed with a local family in a little town called San Ramon, which is about an hour outside of San Jose. And this is way back before Costa Rica was a popular tourist destination. It was a South American country, Latin American country, with very poor roads and transportation issues, communication. Technology was not as good, so there was no internet really back then, emails, cell phones, no. So we would use a regular phone, my fiance and I at the time, to call each other. Oh my God, I think our phone bill for the 2 months was like $1,000. It was crazy because that was the only option we had, and then sending letters, and it was a whole thing. But I landed there with this group of people, students I'd never met before. I knew nobody. I was not fluent in Spanish at all. I was a gringo, rubia, blondie, in this culture that looked so completely different and felt so different than me. And we were not in a big city. We arrived in the city, and then we took a bus. And so we pulled up to this little tiny town center in this little town in the mountains, and we were dropped off. That's not true. We pulled up, we got out of the bus with our suitcase and our stuff, and then we were matched up with a family and sent home with a family. And so I landed with a family. It was a young couple, and they had a couple little children, and they lived further away from town. They weren't within walking distance. And so we drove. There was an issue with water at the time. Our systems aren't quite as in alignment with the water that was available at that time in Latin America. Maybe it's been improved, but there was a lot of don't drink the water, you're going to get sick. And also, there isn't a lot of bottled water available, so what do you do? And I love ice, which is a whole other situation when you're traveling. So I go to this house and I settle in, and I am exhausted because of all the travel and wrapping up school for the semester and immediately getting on the plane and just that. But then also the emotional, okay, you're going to be here for 6 weeks doing this life with this family you don't know. And my best friend was going to come meet me at the end and spend a week and do a little vacation. So I had that as my like highlight at the end. But the amount of time when you're in your early 20s, 6 weeks is forever. Now it wouldn't be that big a deal. Back then, with no communication, no access, no apps, no cell phone, it was intense. And they put me in this room. They had a very small house. They put me in this room with a parrot right next to the window. It was, or the open air, in the center of the house. In South America, there's often like sort of a central area where light and rain and whatever comes in and waters the little garden. The parrot is right by my head and he wants to talk loudly. And he wakes up at 4 a.m. and wakes the whole house up. And they're used to it, and I'm not. And so I didn't sleep very well the first couple nights. I was adjusting to the food and the water, and it was a mess. I was a mess. It was all a mess. There was not a lot of support. I didn't quite know how to handle it. And there arrived a moment, this is the point of the story. There arrived a moment where I was offered a choice. Was talking to some of the other students, and there was an opening at another house. They already had one student there. His name was David. He was also an older student. Because I was older, I'd gone back to school. Most of them were 19, 20-year-old kids just there for the party and the alcohol because you could drink under 21 and the adventure of being away together and all of that. They weren't really there necessarily to study Spanish. They were just getting some credits and having some fun. And New Orleans to Costa Rica is not as far as Cincinnati to Costa Rica. So it was just a little trip for them. For me, it felt like a much bigger deal. I was offered a choice. I could stay where I was, or I could disrupt the setup and take all of my stuff and move into this other house where there was an empty room and be the second student in this house with a woman whose name was Daisy. And so I was completely unsure. And in the reorienting, and totally out of my element, and also had food poisoning, water poisoning. I was awfully sick, and it was just a mess. I was a mess. But there was something about this woman and the feeling of what that potential experience could be compared to what I currently knew and was very uncomfortable in. And I kept listening to this parrot, and I was like, I can't do this for 6 weeks. I can't be in the space. So I'm going to have to ruffle some feathers and get people upset and move myself because it's a really big deal when you're doing an exchange program. The family you live with gets paid for you to stay there. And so switching families means they no longer receive that money because it's going to go to the family you're staying with. And so there was all this pressure I felt of I need to stay because they need the income, but I can't stay. And so I made the decision to move. And in that weekend, that first weekend, I switched to the house and there was no parrot. And Daisy, oh my God. Oh my God, Daisy. Like, Daisy is just this big, beautiful heart of the most welcoming love and energy. Maybe not for everybody, but for her exchange students. She had one or two every year for years and years and years. She was just pure love. You would just feel her heart space. Of course I had to stay with her. Of course. I mean, I was meant to fall in love with this woman and spend time with her. And it was the most incredible 6 weeks. I sat and chatted with her constantly. I would go to my classes and hang with the students and do all the stuff. And then she and I would sit and have hours of conversation at the table. And she would make all these incredible meals. And I'd learn how she was making everything. And she'd be chopping all the. She made everything fresh, everything, even pineapple juice. Her husband had a farm. And so she took us. Out, David and I, we went out to the farm and walked the property and learned about how they live life. And she took me on these little adventures on the weekends to go see things around the country. I mean, she made it the most incredible experience. It was absolute magic. We stayed in touch, and then years later, I got married, had kids, and then eventually the marriage wasn't working, and I knew I had to separate. And so I made the decision, and we moved through the first few months of it. And then I took a week and I flew back to Costa Rica. in between that, I'd already gone back to Costa Rica once with two of my girlfriends. And we just had the best adventure traveling around the country for 2 weeks and staying with Daisy and then going all over. When I knew I was getting separated, I went back to Costa Rica and just climbed into the chair next to Daisy and cried and healed and talked, philosophized. She only speaks Spanish, so, you know, my words were limited, but she could feel, she could hold space. She fed me. I was such a mess. Every time I went to see her, I felt like I was such a mess, and she would just love me through it. I mean, God bless this soul that found me, that called me, and thank God I had the courage to make the choice to change direction, to pivot, to ruffle some feathers and move into a different reality, a different experience. When my daughter graduated high school, I took her and we went back to Costa Rica. And that was just in 2017. Is that when she graduated? We went back and it was just a beautiful reunion again with Daisy and her family. And so I feel like there's going to be another one coming where my whole family will go. We will all go and just honor this incredible, incredible human that I fell in love with and just haven't stopped loving. Okay, so reorienting. We're in the moment right now. I'm in the moment. I feel like we're in one of those collective moments where we're sitting in the room with a parrot squawking at the side, and we know there's another option. There's a reality that we can feel is going to be so much more in alignment individually for us. Like if we choose this path, it's going to work. It's going to be beautiful. But we're in this and we have to make the choice. We have to trust the intuition that says pivot, pivot, course correct, try something new, think differently, do it in a different way, and trust that and then make it the right way. Even if it's a total leap of faith, like my business, right? It's a total, I have no idea how to do these reels and how to sell. And also I can feel conversion is the way to have more impact. It's the way to study the path of my business and create the expansion that I'm calling. And so I make the choice and I make it the right one. And for you, it may be a relationship. It may be your health. Maybe there's a decision that you just know you have to make. And if you don't make it, it's going to be the parrot squawking in your head, which some people love parrots. Some people love parrots. And so not every choice is for every person. There probably is someone every year who went after that who was like, oh my God, the best part of the trip was the parrot. I love the parrot. And for me, I was like, I can't. I just need hearts and love and cuddling and mama energy. My Spanish mama, like, that's what I need. It's so unique to each one of us. And nobody can tell us what that pivot is or what the right pivot is. We have to decide. We have to make the choice. And then we have to honor that choice and walk it and embody it and give it everything we've got. And then see where it takes us. And then you know what? We might have to pivot again. We might have to course correct again. Pluto in Aquarius is going to be, how did Pam Gregory describe it? She said it's going to be in leaps and then pauses. Quantum leap and then steady and integration. We might do this course correct right now, this pivot, steady in it. It was the right choice at the moment. It took us out of the parrot energy and it put us more into alignment with our heart chakra, but 6 months, 5 years, I don't know, there might be another one. And we have to course correct again and pivot again and then align with that and steady ourselves in it. And so can we just trust each time we feel the reorienting and create the space for it? Do the energy work, do the healing within ourselves and walk ourselves into the next expression. Of course we can. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So that is where I'm at. I would absolutely love your feedback. I would also love for you, if you don't follow me on Instagram, to come over there. It's infinite.embodiment.in.com. Gaia. Follow me over there and then tell me, like, what do you think of what's happening with my Instagram reels, and how do you receive them? What is it activating you? Maybe as you watch one, you're like, oh, I actually want that free meditation that she's offering, or I want access to the light protocol, so I'm going to go pay the $33 and get all 11. Like, I'm interested in that. Maybe it'll activate something in you, or maybe it'll activate you to share what I do with other people. And so, I invite you more into my world, into what I create and what I share, and I welcome the feedback. I used to be like, don't tell me. If you don't like it, don't tell me. And now I'm like, okay, I can handle constructive criticism. If you don't like it, tell me. And then I'm going to take that feedback and apply it, and I'm going to get stronger and better and more in alignment with what I'm here to do as a soul. Sometimes I just don't even know how many words are inside, wanting to come out, waiting for me to create the space. That was way longer than I thought. But I need to go create and post my reel for today. So that is what I'm going to do next. And then I'm going to go play this afternoon. One of my friends is coming over with her baby, and we're going to go splash in the pool because it's gorgeous outside. And then I'm going to mow the lawn because that's what I do in the summer. I mow the lawn and I meditate. And tomorrow, my son and I are going to go up to school and clean up his apartment, pack everything in the car, and bring him home for the summer, which is just the greatest, greatest gift. Don't know how many summers he will be in the same city as me, but for right now, it is so much fun. All right, there you go. We have a new moon next week. If you're on Insight Timer, I just uploaded a new moon meditation, so go check that out. It's a super moon. I will be creating new moon content. If you don't watch that or receive that, those are really fun energy readings with tarot. And so I'll be creating all of that on the new moon. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday next week. And then we'll just keep moving forward through this amazing month of May. I'm sending you so much love. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for tuning into this vibration of pure love. Let's take this message of Gaia's love out into all of our relationships and communities today. So much love from my heart to yours.